Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Psalm 113. It's a short psalm and a beautiful one. I think we have some interesting things to discuss. Praise Yah. Praise, O slaves of Yahweh. Praise the name of Yahweh. And when you see that praise Yah, that's Hallel Yah. So where we get Hallelujah, which means praise the Lord. So anytime you're singing in worship, hallelujah, for some of you, hopefully that's enlightening to know that that means praise the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. May the name of Yahweh be blessed from now until forever, from the rising of the sun to its setting. The name of Yahweh is to be praised. And man, when our hearts are right like that and we're seeing God in our day, we're seeing God in creation and we're remembering Him throughout the day. What an important thing that is. I'm on sabbatical now, and yesterday I was playing with a friend that I know who is down in Arizona, and we played with a friend of his, and it was a good time. Enjoyed playing golf with these guys, and I was looking for an opportunity, thinking about God as I was playing golf and thinking, how can I do something significant? And after the round, we together and had a beverage and, talked about life and got to know each other a little bit better. And I brought up things of God and didn't necessarily go in a carried on conversation as much as I would have liked. But asked these men, I said, "You ever think about the deeper things of life? What we're here for, what our purpose is, and what's going to happen when we die?" And I'm glad that I had an opportunity to at least plant that seed. I don't know, sometimes when you plant a seed or try to get people thinking, we don't always know what happens with it. May God do something with it. May God water that seed. And I hope and pray that maybe those men would listen to this podcast. I told them about it. Or maybe they just start thinking about God or attend church or read their Bible. Somehow that God would use those conversations we had to spur them on to take the next step. One of the greatest things I think we can do is just try to inspire people to seek, because the Bible says you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And a lot of people just don't seek God, and they try not to think about him. They don't want to be maybe disturbed by thinking about God and how that may alter their lives, so they kind of ignore him. But God promises that when we genuinely want to find him, when we seek him, we will. And I encourage you to do that. I tell you what, if you make a serious endeavor to seek God, I believe you'll find him. If you take him at his word and you read his word, and you begin to try to learn more about him, attend church, read the Bible, listen to a podcast like this, he's there, and he is willing to be found if you'll just but seek. Hallelujah. It's good to remember him all the day. Yahweh is high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. And this is going to be interesting. There's four, five more verses. Who is like Yahweh our God, the one who sits on high, the one who brings himself low to see the things in heaven and on the earth? It's kind of an interesting expression there that he brings himself low to see the things in heaven. Never really thought of that expression before, but and on the earth. And God brought himself so low that he brought himself through Jesus to earth to reveal himself to us. But what this is showing is that God has a interaction with us on earth. He sees what's going on earth. He brings himself low to see the things that are taking place here. And this is what it says. This is glorious. When he does that, it says, who raises the poor from the dust and lifts high the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with the nobles of his people. He makes the barren woman of the house sit as a glad mother of children. Praise Yah. Hallelujah. Imagine that, for the ladies that are listening, he makes a barren woman of the house as a glad mother of children. And think of the people, whether it be Sarah or Hannah, who were barren and then got blessed with child. And I thought of this morning, and it's not exactly that situation, but I thought of Naomi and Ruth. Do you remember Naomi, Ruth, and her other daughter, Oprah? They are Orpah. They went to Moab. Their husbands led them there. We'll blame it on the husbands because they shouldn't have went to Moab. That wasn't a place God's people should have went. But they went and lived in Moab, and all the three men died. So the husbands of all three of those, and it was a mother and then two daughter-in-laws. So the mother lost all three of her husband and two of her sons. So now they're all widows, and Ruth clings to Naomi, and Naomi says, "Well, I'm going to try to go back home." And she says, "Ruth, my God will be your God, my people will be your people. I'll go with you." So she sticks with Naomi and goes back to God's land, and she goes back towards Bethlehem. And there, these two women who now have nothing and don't have their husbands, Ruth, the daughter-in-law of Naomi, meets a her kinsman redeemer, someone who in her family had the ability to take her as a wife to continue the family name. And he takes her, this wealthy man. So this widow comes home, and she ends up meeting this wealthy man, and they fall in love, and he takes her in, and she becomes blessed, and as a result, Naomi becomes blessed, and then Boaz is his name, and she ends up, that is, Ruth ends up having a baby through Boaz. And that baby ends up leading to the life of David. So from that offspring, we get King David. So it talked about here in this passage, who raises up the poor from the dust and lifts high the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles, with the nobles of his people. And he makes the barren woman of the house sit as a glad mother of her children. And can you imagine Naomi? Seeing how she was blessed, Ruth was blessed. Oh, now she ends up having the child that leads to David, and just sitting back on the journey of life and saying, "Wow, look at all that God has. What an incredible thing!" It makes me think of Joseph. His brothers sold him into slavery. They didn't like the fact that Jacob, their father, would show favoritism to Joseph, and they basically abandoned him and then told Jacob that Joseph, one of the brothers, was dead. And he wasn't dead, but he actually got taken into slavery in Egypt. But when he was in a prison in Egypt, God noticed him there, and there was something special about Joseph. And God raised him up to ultimately end up being the second man in command in all of Egypt, partially because he was able to interpret a dream that there was going to be a famine, and they trusted his dream that it was from God, and they ended up saving grain during 7 years of abundance, so that when the famine began later, Egypt was the one who had grain. And as a result, his Jacob's family, Joseph's family, Jacob, they were starving in the famine, but ended up coming to Egypt. Well, now Joseph was already there and saved the grain, and he ended up saving his whole family. So, like this young man, Joseph, is abandoned by his brothers, left for dead in prison, but then gets raised up in prominence, and he ends up saving his family, which ends up being God's people, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Israelites. And what an incredible thing that God raises people up out of prison like that and does something amazing to save his family. In a modern sense, it made me think of Charlie Kirk. And here's a young man who came from a pretty standard family in Chicago area, and he gets out of high school, doesn't go to college, and says, you know, I think we got to do something about all this woke and what's going on, and I'm gonna start this organization called Turning Point in order to speak to my generation of young people to help them not be dissuaded by socialism, to help them not be swayed by all the woke stuff, to help them return to faith, to freedom, to conservatism. And he's got nothing, and he's got no connections, but he's got a passion and a zeal, and there's something special about him. Listen to what it says here. I pulled this up on ChatGPT. Kirk founded Turning Point USA right after high school at age 18. He had no college background or established donor work, just a speech. So he was given an opportunity because someone had heard about him, this middle class kid from Chicago, and he spoke at the Republican National Convention in 2012. So as it talked about in this passage, he raises up the poor from the dust and lifts high the needy to make them sit with nobles. So he gets in front of the Republican National Convention and people begin to see him. Well, this Foster Friess, a Wyoming-based billionaire investor and philanthropist, he comes to, learn who Charlie Kirk was and was impressed with him, had an interview with him, and Friess reportedly donated $50,000 to $100,000 initially, and then I understand it was much more after that, which helped Kirk hire staff and launch campus operations. Well, that wealthy donor then introduced him to other wealthy donors, and within a few years, these connections provided hundreds of thousands in additional grants. By 2014, TPUSA's financial disclosures showed over $2 million in annual revenue, most of it from large donations rather than small donors. How about that? God, it just makes me think, when God wants to get something done, and if you've got a talent and you've got an ability, you know what? Just keep being faithful. Live for what God's called you to do, and I believe He will raise up the people around you to get you what you need in order to be successful. Hallelujah. Now, that's kind of a challenge to me and maybe to you. Are we living the kind of life that, it would be worth it for God to place us in front of nobles because we actually have something to do, say, or accomplish that God wants to, fan into flame? And Lord, help me to be that kind of man that you see, yourself as worthy, but your saints as worthy and needing help in order to, do something significant for your kingdom. Now, for some of us, listen, I know there's a lot of people listening, and you may be 20, you may be 80, but maybe this is something for your kids or your grandkids or someone else in your life. And maybe you can encourage them. You know what, young man, young woman, be faithful to God. Do what's right. Live an inspired life. Live a purposeful life. And guess what? God will notice. And you know what? You'll get the opportunities that God wants you to get. Trust in Him. He's got a plan for you. Sometimes we got to learn to think bigger and realize that God can do miraculous things. But you know what? I do think. When Ruth came home with Naomi, she said, "I will go where you go, and your God will be my God." And I believe God saw her faithfulness and saw the kind of woman she is, and she was the one who was blessed to end up being the mother of David's family line. And I believe there's something special in Charlie, and God noticed. I believe there was something special in Joseph, and he blessed people that he felt that would take that blessing and use it for the glory of God. So, oh Lord, help us, help you, help me, help our kids, help our grandkids be that kind of people. But trust that God can do it. Hallelujah. What an incredible chapter. I hope this inspires you and that maybe you inspire someone else to be faithful to God and look out for what God can do.